Welcome to Discovering Responsible Wealth. This is your host, Frank Angelos. It's a pleasure to be with you this year. And for all of our listeners, I'd like to wish you a very happy, healthy, and a truly blessed new year. As we start the new year, I always try to give you perspective on getting off the year on the right foot. You know, this time of year, what's interesting is you know, people, you know, over the last few days made a lot of New Year's resolutions. You know, so I bet the gyms are full right now. There's people that all of a sudden they're on a diet. They're going to get their finances in order, and they're going to do all of the things that are important to them that they like to get done, and they're going to make some changes in their life so that this year will be a better year than last year. So with that in mind, the whole focus of today's program is how to set yourself up for a really great year. And I've invited one of my partners from CNA Financial Group to speak with us today and, you know, to kind of share in the conversation. So our guest today is Scott Kotakovi, one of my partners over at CNA Financial Group, and Scott's our Senior Vice President in charge of investment operations. So, Scott, welcome to the show. It's a pleasure to have you with us today.
Thank you, Frank. Good afternoon.
So, Scott, you know, it's interesting. Is this time of the year is always interesting, I always find, for people, because it's like we all start out with the best of intentions, and then all of a sudden it's like we start drifting and things like that. And my guess is that, you know, you've been advising people about how to set up their investments and how to plan their futures. And even on the investment side, it always starts out the same way, doesn't it? Which is they start out with a goal and sometimes they lose sight.
That's correct.
So one of the things that I always like to ask is that, you know, if I were looking from a portfolio standpoint, because people look and they go, Frank, discovering responsible wealth isn't all about money, which, by the way, it's not. And we're going to talk a lot more about that in just a few minutes. But just from the money standpoint, so that people know, some of the things that they might be doing at this point, you know, as far as just setting up for a good year, maybe self-assessment, things of that nature. Any suggestions that you might have for them that we should share?
Well, you know, now that the holidays are over, people have the availability to save a little bit more money. So we always encourage people to put a little bit more money aside at this time of the year.
That's great. And, you know, what I always say is one of the key things is Scott's mentioning that is it's not the – what the rate of return you get on your money is important, but the rate at which you save your money is also important. You know, Scott, I wrote a couple of books, and, you know, we've shared with our listeners over the years that we're doing this now. One of the books that I have out is called Discovering Responsible Wealth. And in the book of Discovering Responsible Wealth, one of the main focuses that I really talk about is how to live that balanced life. And when I say that balanced life, it really comes down to what I refer to as life's wealth building blocks, which is, in order for you to be happy and fulfilled, okay, the first thing is I always have to say to everyone is you have to first of all make sure that God's the center of your life and that you don't have other things that are your God, such as money or other things that are of interest that puts that in the wrong place. But those wealth building blocks generally are your faith, your family, your health, purpose and career, and money is usually last. And as I speak publicly on this and I go around and I ask people, I say, okay, so here's the top five. You know, and I go through the wealth building blocks and I'll say to someone, faith, family, health, purpose, you know, as far as liking what you do in career, and then money. I go, so which ones are you of the top four are you willing to give up for the last one? And everybody always goes, none of them. Okay. So they all really understand the place that it has. But it's interesting, Scott, you and I meet people at all different points in their life who's concerned about having enough income, because for a saver nowadays, and when I say a saver, someone who's been diligent about saving money, they've been conservative, they've been sitting on money. I mean, Scott, right now when you have a senior citizen or one of your clients that they have a CD comes due and they said, Scott, I was making 1 or 2% on this, or I was making 5% and it came due now, it's like they're getting hurt nowadays. Am I right?
It's very difficult to find replacement rate.
So for a lot of those people, you know, their option is to cut down on lifestyle, you know, as far as on the amount of money that they're able to spend, or they have to seek some higher rate of return.
That's correct. But it's very difficult to seek higher rate of return without taking on the additional risk.
So when we look at that, part of what occurs, and by the way, you know, it's kind of like in any aspect of our life, we get pushed down what I call that risk curve.
That's correct.
So if I was investment yield looking, and if I came to you, Scott, I have money in a CD that, you know, before I might have been getting 4 or 5%. That CD comes due, and I don't know, what's the CD rate nowadays, Scott?
It's less than 1%.
So I got less than 1%. So then you might have to bring me into a bond or some other, but now I'm taking on more risk in pursuit of return.
Well, typically what people are doing is they're extending their maturity, so they're going out a little bit further to try and make up for that rate of return. But in doing that, you know, when rates do start to rise, you know, bond prices, CD prices will start to fall. So there's risk involved with that as well.
You know, so as I listen from the investment standpoint, I look at that as if it works like that in every aspect of our life. And
right.
when I look at that, it's like, so if I was thinking, because again, we just finished New Year's and I know the gyms are full, and I always kid people about that, which is, so the first thing that I might do is say, all right, so I'm going to start out with the best of intentions, which is eat right, exercise and diet. I do all that. But if I don't do the right things early on, what I'm going to tend to do is I'm going to start taking more risk.
Right.
So what are some of the risks that I would take? If it was the health side, I might go on a fad diet. Okay, I might do things of that nature. And on the financial side, what some people are doing is they're taking on investments that are not as good a grade. Okay, so as an example, where CD may be very secure, okay, maybe now what they're doing is they're buying bonds that are not as good in quality. So what happens is you kind of get what you pay for. You'll have more risk, mm-hmm. you know, in pursuit of return.
That's right. Okay. And also they're taking on what's referred to as alternatives right now, which are fixed income type investments, but they also pose additional risk, like preferred stocks.
It's interesting is that human beings, we often hear what we want to hear. So, you know, when we talk about, you know, there's no right way to do the wrong thing, and, you know, Dave Suki, who, you know, is often on our show with us, we'll talk about the hard easy, okay, and the easy hard, which is doing the hard things in life early on so that I have an easier life later versus doing the easy things early on and then having a harder life later. As it even relates to our portfolios, is if I do the same, which is I don't plan properly, or when I say plan properly, I take on more of those risks in pursuit of those higher returns, I may be putting myself and my finances somewhat at jeopardy, that in the event that I invest in something with a lesser grade, my risk in that is what, Scott?
Well, it's a real concern, and this is one of the areas that we've been counseling our clients with. You know, we want to make sure that our clients are aligned with their investments. In other words, Frank, that they're not taking on more risk than they have to in order to reach that goal or that income.
When you say more risk, Scott, as it relates to my finances, are you saying the risk that the investment may actually default, or is it a risk that I might have to take my money out early and I might not get it all?
It's a combination of the two. It's
so there's more than one type of risk is what we're saying.
There are many different types of risk.
So when we talk about risk to people, and I'm thinking about, you know, what I'm holding in my retirement account or what I'm holding in my investment accounts and so forth, the risk, if I'm a conservative person, that I should be most concerned with are typically what types?
Well, you have loss of principal. You have loss of earning power.
Okay. So that's basically saying, and you're just kind of for our listeners so that I make sure that we're on the same page, is that saying that I bought something of a lesser quality and there's a higher probability of default, or that I bought something and maybe they reduced my interest?
Both.
Okay. Got it. Because it was interesting is, you know, recently they were talking about like a 10-year treasury, you know, tipping around 3%.
Right.
So when interest rates are going up like that, is that something that I should be looking and saying, oh, good, this is a good sign, or is it a bad sign, or is it kind of both, depends upon who I am?
Well, it's both. Once again, interest rates are going up based on the economy. So we see an improving economy. We know rates are going to have to go up. But for your investor, once again, from an income standpoint, if they're not able to take advantage of that increase in rate, it poses a risk as well.
So when you say take advantage of that increase in rate, are you saying that if they're already locked into something, that when those rates went up, what I'm locked into now may be worth less because I had something that I bought, you know, and I'm holding on to it, it's 10 years or 20 years of a maturity or something like that, or I bought an annuity and I'm locked in at a lower rate, I can't necessarily take that money out without penalty or without a risk of principal. Is that what you're saying, Scott?
Yeah, on the annuity, it would be a penalty. On the fixed income side, on the bond side, it would be a risk of principal. You'd be actually liquidating or selling at a price lower than what you originally bought at.
So when I listen to that, what that says to me, Scott, is that the market always determines the value.
That's correct.
And so when it determines the value is if, you know, the rate went up on something and I'm already in some, you know, another investment, I may be able to go and get a higher rate, but I might take a loss on my principal in order to be able to sell and repurchase. Is that right, what you're saying?
Right. And so what we're doing is we're encouraging our clients to buy, you know, the short-term bond, the short-term fixed income, or fixed income that takes advantage of the rise in rate as well. We don't want our clients locked in on a 20-year bond when, you know, rates are going up. So it's a combination of the both.
Very good. And as it relates to, you know, people when they're looking and they're setting the goals for the new year, how important is the asset allocation and what they're doing? And when I say the asset allocation is, you know, should they own some equities in addition to owning bonds? Should they have some money in cash? How significant is that for someone?
Very significant. As we all know, the level of risk that somebody takes is going to be dependent upon what they're buying. So when we take a look at asset allocation, we're taking a look at how the asset classes, the individual asset classes themselves, behave or correlate to other asset classes. So for people that are willing to take on a higher level of risk, we have more of an equity approach versus people that are more on the conservative side, we increase the fixed income side of the portfolio.
So, and myself always being one of those, which is the plain English for my average everyday American listener, when I hear the equity side, what you're saying is that they'll own typically more stocks,
yes,
more mutual funds that are, you know,
stock oriented.
And when you say the fixed income side, that would be typically more bond type funds. However, a bond fund that's just an open fund may often look like a stock because it doesn't have a set maturity. Mm-hmm. So if they were looking at that, they're actually looking at a bond or a short-term bond fund, you know, in itself, so that you know that it's going to mature at some point in the near future.
Well, I think that's an area of great concern, and I think most people here have heard me talk about the perils of being in a bond fund.
Right.
Because there is no final maturity. And a bond fund has to be invested. 95% of its assets have to be invested by prospectus. So a lot of, as the equity markets were coming down, a lot of people were putting more money over into bond funds. And that's when interest rates were coming down as well. The managers had to buy at a time where they probably would not like to.
Right.
So because there is no final maturity on the bond fund itself, as rates go up, there's a very good possibility that people could see stock market type losses in their bond funds. So our practice has always been traditionally to buy individual bonds, fixed income. The however part is the bond fund does make sense, providing that it's either a low duration or a short maturity bond fund.
So as we're speaking to all of our listeners and they're starting the new year, part of what they should be looking at is that self-assessment, both personally and financially. On the financial side, as you were just listening to Scott, it does certainly sound like, you know, with the government starting to, you know, do some tapering, which is they're going to let interest rates start to move up at some point in the near future, although they say that they'll stay low for a period of time. However, as it relates to bonds, owning bonds or bond funds that are long maturities may have more volatility for you and may actually look like, you know, the market, what it looked like years ago on the stock side, but not quite that volatile, but it'll have some volatility to it.
Well, so, it depends upon, you know, when rates actually start to go up, by how much, and over how long of a period of time.
Very good. So as I listen to that, I would suggest as one of the things that I would do as we're in the new year is do that self-assessment of your finances to look at where you're at, determine what your holdings are, and make sure that you have the right asset allocation and the right holdings based upon who you are and where you are in your life. Fair assumption?
That sure is.
So as we, you know, look at our finances that way, I would also encourage all of our listeners that now that we're also into the new year, this is the first show of the new year, I would love for every one of our listeners to really do that self-assessment in every aspect of their life, which is those wealth building blocks, which again is your faith, your family, your health, purpose, and so forth. And what I always suggest is this is sit there like this weekend because we're here on a Saturday morning and I have a suggestion for you. You know, find some quiet spot and just write down based upon your five wealth building blocks where you are and what aspects of your life, which one of those wealth building blocks may need a little bit of help. And for all of us, we have all different things. You know, Scott, my guess is that your portfolio looks perfect because that's what you do for a living. But there may be other aspects of your life that you may need to tweak, just like I do. Yeah. And whether it be, you know, physical, spiritual, whatever the case might be, is identify where you are And then in what aspect of your life do you need that improvement, or do you need to, as I'll use a Scott term, a reallocation. So how do I reallocate part of my personal life, okay, or whatever, where I may need a little bit more balance? And here's one of the key things to do, which is, in order to be successful in any aspect of your life, the key is that you have to have a reason to do it. And that's the reason why when I started the show and we said, okay, the gyms are full now. But what happens is, why are they going to the gym in the first place? It's not really to lose weight. There has to be a bigger picture, because otherwise I can end up with that yo-yo effect, which is I can lose weight quick and then I'll gain it quick. And likewise, I can go out and I can say, hey, Scott, give me a hot new stock. And I can then almost gamble with my money, gamble with my finances in pursuit of trying to get a quick fix, only to find out that the long term really doesn't work. So what I suggest for everyone is you have to identify your why. What is the purpose? What's your purpose? What is the purpose, first of all, of your life? How are you serving God in your life? And how are you serving your other, everybody else in your life? And what purpose does money have in your life? What is your intention? So as an example, if I'm looking for retirement dollars, I wouldn't be speculating with that. If I'm someone who's in a point in my life where I'm looking for retirement income, I wouldn't be going too far out on a risk curve because I may not have the years to make that money up. Is that fair, Scott?
Sure.
So whatever your personal assessment is, what I'm suggesting is that you take a look at it at this point in your life, look at every aspect of your life, and identify what you want to change. And the biggest question is, why do you want to change it? And the way to really finish this whole conversation is to say, if I was sitting here a year from today, and if it was December 31st, 2014, what would have to happen in the course of this year for you to say that this was one of the best years you've ever had? And you should look at every aspect of your life and determine that. So for all of our listeners, you've been listening to Discovering Responsible Wealth. Our guest today, Scott Kotakovi at CNA Financial Group. This is Frank Congelos. If you have questions, you can write to us at the Institute of Responsible Wealth, 2431 Atlantic Avenue, Manasquan, New Jersey, 087336, or email us at info@ivrw.com. Thank you and have a blessed week and a happy, healthy, and prosperous new year.